Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Colossians chapter 2. Are you already in Colossians chapter 2? Eh? Right. Thank you very much. You know the Bible said there are three things that are God's greatest instrument by which a life is built, established, and furnished. Number one, it said, by wisdom, skillful and godly wisdom, a house, a life, a home, a family is built, isn't it? By understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. And by knowledge, it is furnished with pleasant, precious things and precious riches. Now, I go to Colossians. And I found that the book of Colossians is bringing a very beautiful combination, these three implements by which any man's life can be built, established, and furnished for a glorious future. And I want you to note it. I want you to see verse 2, verse 3, and then we'll go on quickly to verse 6. He said, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding, and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I want you to please pay very quick attention to the issues I want to raise here. And I'm hoping that somebody will have message. Is anybody carrying message? A version of the Bible called message. Where is message? Will message just read verse 2 and 3 for me quickly before I go from there? Message.
I want you woven into a tapestry of love.
I want all of you to be woven into a tapestry of love, yes?
In touch with everything
There
is to know of God.
That you will be in touch with everything there is to know of God.
Then you will have minds, confident at rest.
Go ahead.
Focused on Christ.
You will have minds that are confident and are at rest. Focused on Christ, yes?
God's great mystery. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery.
Yes.
And nowhere else.
And nowhere else.
And we have been shown the mystery.
Thank you very much. It's okay. Now, when we begin to talk about being built, being established, and being furnished for a glorious future, I want you to understand one matter tonight. All the means by which any correct life can be built on a proper foundation, or the means by which any life can be established, and all the means by which you can be furnished for the glory that lies ahead of you, lies embedded in one man. Who is that? Christ Jesus. The two scriptures we read, they noted that Christ is the mystic secret of God. It is in Him that all the treasures of divine wisdom, comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, are embedded. It is in Him that all the riches of spiritual knowledge and understanding are hidden and stored up. So when God began to speak to us in the morning, and I want you to please take time and get this, because I'm rushing through it. When God is saying there is no other foundation that can be laid, and that anyone who has not come to this chief cornerstone, Christ, as the foundation for his life, he will end up not only in shambles, but in an irretrievable crisis. For any man, and I thank God that God is confronting you with this now that you are young, before the evil day comes, before several things are spoiled, before you begin to grapple with challenges that you did not have foundation to deal with. So may I quickly say that whereas many, many philosophers, we propound theories on which a correct life and a good career and a successful career can be hinged. May I inform you very honestly. You know, I told you in the morning that I am not religious. I am just being frank. When I offer Christ to you as the basis, as the foundation for any life, whether you are going to be an academician, whether you are going to be a businessman, whether you are going to be a politician, whether you are going to operate in scientific research, whatever you plan to be, it is in Christ Jesus that God has decided that all fullness should dwell. And that only when a man has got Christ in him, that he has a basis to expect a glorious future. Sometimes people think that when we talk of Christ, we are just talking about something that you practice inside church. Sometimes when we present Christ, others think that the principles of Christ are limited to religion. So many people, when they want to go into their life, secular world or whatever, they say, well, let us not bring Christ here. Let's face reality. This is not church. Can I inform you that that is a very, very foolish blackmail? The truth of the matter is this. It is in Christ that is hidden all treasures of knowledge and of wisdom. Do you know that what turned the economy of Egypt around in the days of Joseph? Where did he get the wisdom? Talk to me quickly. Where did Joseph get the wisdom that translated Egypt from a dying economy onto a buoyant economy that all other nations in their vicinity started coming to them to beg for food. Where did it come from? Do you know, let me tell you, do you know the truth of the matter is this? When Pharaoh had his dream, he called all his wise men, all his astrologers, all that they have trained in ability to read minds and interpret dreams, all of them were dumbfounded. Nobody could bring any solution. Now they brought Brother Joseph, who had been in prison for 30 years. And they brought him, they said, the butler said he had a dream some time ago and you are the one who interpreted it. Can I tell you how Joseph stood up and said, no. Interpretation of dreams does not come from a man. It comes only from God. The Lord Almighty will show you the meaning of your dream. And as Joseph stood up there, supernatural wisdom that he did not learn in any place apart from the feet of the Lord began to flow. When he reminded the king the dream he had, and then he brought interpretation to it, he did not stop there. Joseph said, and this is what you will do. And he gave an impeccable economic formula that the world all over up to today have not been able to bypass. And when he offered that, the king stood up and said, where can we find a man who is so discreet, who is so wise in the whole of my kingdom? Where do we have a man who carries the excellent spirit of the gods like this man Joseph? Do you know that Joseph was not an indigene of Egypt? Am I right? He was a slave. But can I inform you what happened? The wisdom of God operating in his life lifted him up above all the senators of Egypt. And the king stood up and said, since there's nobody as discreet as you are, in whom the spirit of the God, the excellent spirit, dwells, from today, everything else is under your hand. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. The second presidential jet should be handed over to him. Potiphar, who was his slave master, you remember Potiphar and Potiphar's wife? The king ordered Potiphar, the chief protocol, and said, chief protocol, this man has been appointed as the second in command. Parade him around the whole city and tell all senators to bow the knee. And nobody can lift a finger except by the approval of Joseph. Joseph ruled Egypt for several years, brought Egypt unto prosperity by the wisdom that God endowed his life with. When God permits me tomorrow, I will now begin to deal with specifics in building and establishing and furnishing your life for a glorious future. I will be taking illustration of some of such men that God took time to build. But I'm establishing a matter here quickly tonight, that actually, in Christ Jesus, when you receive Jesus, are you hearing me? You have not received a mere fable. When you have come to Jesus Christ and you have allowed him to come into your life, you are not just being religious. You are entering into a life that will be impeccable. For whatsoever is born of God, the Bible says, does what? overcomes the world. For greater is he that lives in you than he that is where? That is in the world. When a man has come to Christ and has accepted and received him into his heart as Lord and Savior, something happens. Let me tell you what happens. It is that something eternal takes place. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? He's a new creation. Old Living Bible says he's a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. Now, Colossians began to note. He said, it is in Christ Jesus that are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. So the wisdom by which your life will be built, where is he embedded? In Christ Jesus. And all the treasures of knowledge by which your life is going to be furnished, where is he located, please? It is in Christ Jesus. That scripture says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, all the enlightenment, all that you will ever need. The word of God says, in him all the treasures of divine wisdom, comprehensive insight. When you use the word comprehensive, what does that mean? Who can give me the quick meaning of comprehensive? When we say something is comprehensive, what does that mean? Total, complete, all rounded, without any lack. That in Christ Jesus, the comprehensive insight into how God does things and into how things should happen, all of that is embedded in Christ Jesus for your life. So when you begin to walk into an experience of Christ, all the means by which a man's life can be built, by which it can be established, and by which it can be furnished, is there in Christ Jesus. And so for this night, my first body that I'm trusting God to allow us to share before we conclude is, how do we, if you have received Jesus Christ like several of you came out today, how are we going to engage in that glorious encounter that has come to your life and make the most of it? Please hear me very well. There are several people that have answered altar calls. They have come to the altar. They have cried. They are saying, how can I be free? How can I be free? May I inform you quickly that there is no man that comes to Christ and he will go back disappointed. As many of you as have taken a step of faith and said, Jesus, I have come to you. I want you to know that Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. I want you to know that he said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What will I do? I will give you rest. If you ask me, I want to tell you that nothing short of that will happen to you. He will give you rest. the issue that you have brought before him, he will conclude it in the name of Jesus Christ. The challenges that have come on your life, that has made it look as, hey, can I be free? Will I be set free? Will I make it? I want to say to you with all confidence that faithful is he who has begun a good work in you. He will complete it. None of you will be an abandoned project in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know whom I believed. And I know that what I've committed to his hand, he is able to keep it. I am persuaded that what I've committed to his hand, he will do what? He will keep it, even unto the last day. No life that is brought to Jesus can be wasted. And tell someone by your side, if you put your life in the hand of Jesus, it will never be wasted. Tell him on my behalf. Tell him on my behalf. I want you to know. I was very afraid. I trembled when they asked me to give my life to Christ. I was very, very afraid. You know why? I thought that all the people I saw around that said they were Christians, I didn't know the difference. I saw many churchgoers, I thought they were Christians. I knew that they have no power. I knew that several of them, they are so afraid and they are going up and down looking for power. And some of them used to come to my father to receive power. And my father had given me some certain things that I put under my pint everywhere I'm going. And he told me that when I'm wearing it, no problem. And then they are telling me that I should give my life to Jesus. And I kept asking them, if I give my life to Jesus, will he keep me? Does he have power to keep me and to deliver me? After all, some of your pastors used to come to our house to collect power. How can I leave the new power and follow your Jesus? I argued and argued and argued. And I made jest of many of them because even the prophets, all these prophets that used to wear white garments, when it's around 7 p.m., they will come to the house. And they used to carry oru, that pot where they used to make agbo. I don't know the English name for all of those things. And when they come, they put their dress gerier and carry it inside. Sometimes I will escort them to put it in their agbada before they will go. And as they are going, you think that they are prophesying. No, it is that thing that they are carrying. They are carrying and they will be shaking their heads. So I didn't respect all those prophets. I knew their secret. I knew that they had no power at all. But when now I'm confronted, give your life to Jesus. I say, no. To give my life to Jesus and become a weak man, I will not do that. Until when Jesus himself confronted me. He confronted me first inside the mosque where we were doing Salah. I was putting my head on the ground and standing up. And as we were doing that, 5 a.m. one morning, I heard a voice said, all these things you are doing, what is the hope of making Aljanna? And that was a very, very big question for me. Sat there 5 a.m. that day, I said, what is the hope of getting to Aljanna? When we finished the Salah morning prayer that morning, I walked to our imam. I asked him a very destiny question. I don't know whether he knew that the answer he will give me that day will determine whether I will continue a Muslim or I will not. And he didn't understand that I was really in turmoil. The question of where will I end my life is facing me. So I walked up to him and said, excuse me, what is the hope that all these things we are doing will end us all in Ajana? Ajana for Muslims is paradise. And the Imam looked at me. He said, why are you so serious about that question? I said, I need an answer now. Because as you were bowing down and standing up, a question arose in my heart. How am I sure that we will get to Ajana? And the Imam looked at me very frankly and he wanted to convince me. He said, to be frank with me, nobody knows. That all of them, including himself, he doesn't know what God will do to him. Nobody knows who will make Ajana among all of us here. Then, in order to go further to convince me, he reached out to the Quran. He said, even Anabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said in Surah 46, Ayat 9, that even himself does not know what God will do for him. That he himself is awaiting result. He doesn't know what God will do to him. So the man said, I should not worry about that. When we get to heaven, we shall know. This thing happened during the Ramadan fast. I've started fasting for several days into the fast. That morning, I did not have any strength to continue fasting. How can I be bowing down, standing up, washing my leg, washing my hand, doing all the ablutions without any assurance that I will make Ajana? Everything became empty in my eyes. And I went straight and broke my fast. They said, are you breaking your fast? I said, yes. Because I'm not sure it will take me to Ajana. Whenever the Muslim prayer was calling 5 a.m., I used to rush. But from that day, I couldn't see a reason why I should be running after something that is not sure. And I could not see why I would be fasting for something that will not take me anywhere. When our master himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not sure of where we are going to end. So I stopped going to the mosque. But I couldn't go to the church because all the deacons, including their pastors, they used to come home to collect power from my father, who was a chronic herbalist. And when I see them going to their church, I say, I look at them. My father would laugh at them and say, see them. And the one who give them power. Some pastors will come and say, we have a committee meeting tomorrow. And there is one man that used to trouble us. Tomorrow, sir, if I say, all you must say is, oh. Sometimes you don't know why. Sometimes people will plan to go and talk in church, but when they get there, they will just forget what they wanted to say. Power past power, you know. Sometimes we will give such pastors certain alligator pepper they will be chewing in their mouth. You will think that they are praying. They are chewing alligator pepper. And as they are chewing it like that, they are making some incantation that they have been told to make. They are doing all of that in church. So when I experienced that many people that claim to be Christians, they've not met Christ, it has made it look as if to follow Christ is a weak religious activity. And even though some of you have come to church, unfortunately, even presently, you have not yet experienced the power that is in Christ Jesus. And it is that power in Christ Jesus that prepares you for a glorious future. So when one day again, the same kind of voice that pulled me out of the mosque again spoke and said, go into that church and give your life to me. I said, who are you? If I give my life to you, do you have power to keep me? Why have you not kept all those ones that have been following you for many years? And to my greatest surprise, he said, no, you give your life to me, I will keep it. No man who believes in me will be put to shame. And I walked into church 6:30 p.m. that day. And I heard the pastor say, anyone who wants to give his life to Christ should come out. And it was so dramatic that we were only two. One old woman in her 80s. And I was a young man just looking up to life. She was arranged to be baptized in order to die. I wanted to live. There's a future ahead of me. And I was coming with trembling and said, Lord Jesus, I'm giving my life to you, but don't forget that even as I was going, the onde is under my pint. So, but that night, as I gave my life to Jesus, something came. I sensed that power has entered into my life. I sensed that something new that I will never forget has occurred. And I could not hide it. So when I got back, you know what I did? It dawned on me that now that Jesus Christ has taken my life, I can no longer keep all those juju, all those powers. I did something strange. I couldn't remove the onde under my pint because that was very strong. But every other thing that I used to rub and I packed them, I threw them away. Then I started going to church. 5 a.m. I was already up because I will not allow the Muslim prayer to precede my prayer. So I'm going to church. I will get to church. I'm telling you, every new convert is a very powerful fellow. Until many, 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 many nominal Christians teaches them to backslide. If I tell you the truth, it is the church that taught me to backslide. I will get there by 5. Wanting to pray. When I get to the church, the whole place is locked. Nobody is there to open the door. In our mosque, nobody closes mosque. Mosque is open every time. What kind of church is this that they are locking it? Then I will stand there 5:30, nobody's there, 5:45. Then I saw one man coming lazily to come and open the church when it is 6:05. That is the man called the janitor. And as I'm standing there, I said, what are you doing there? I said, is that not prayer meeting? He said, well, it's not time. When it was 6:00, one person arrived, another person arrived, and by 6:30, the church is not yet full. And I'm asking the man, why can't we come at 5? He said, no, we don't come at 5. Stay, sleep until 6 before you start coming. That was the problem. I saw several young people whose parents were church leaders and deacons and all of that. They are very wayward. They have the name of Christ, but they've never experienced Christ in their lives. And sometimes when some of you started your Christian experience from that kind of perspective, you are used to powerless Christianity. You are used to forms of godliness without experiencing the power. That will not continue with you in the name of Jesus Christ. As many as received Him, to them gave He what? Power. There is power. Power in Christ Jesus to live right. Power to be the sons of God. Power to overcome the devil. And it was not a long time when the report of my encounter with Jesus Christ began to affect the kingdom of darkness. As I burnt down all the things that I was giving, I was using, my father got a wind of it. Because he also woke up 4 a.m. every morning to go and pray and talk to the demons. And whenever he opened his door, I knew that when he got to the shrine, he would mention all the name of all the children. And I don't want my name to be mentioned there anymore. So once he opened his door 4 a.m., I will jump. I said before he will get to the family shrine, I will have got to heaven. So as he's opening up his door to God, we need and say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. All the powers of the oracles, I bind them in the name of Jesus. Let them not walk again. And occasionally, Baba will come back because he will have broken kola nut in front of the oracles. And he will be mentioning our names. And every day when he breaks kola nut, to discern for individual of his children, if the kola nut opens, he will come back and say, yes, the oracle is happy with you, where you are going and all of that. And several times when he breaks the kola nut, it will not open for my case. He will be so worried and say he doesn't know what is happening, that the oracle is not saying something about me to him again. And I say, Oracle will never talk to you about me again, because I have given my life to Jesus. And he said, what? How can you leave this thing and you are following that? That began the battle for my Christian life. For 13 solid years, I suffered serious persecution for becoming a child of God. But you see, because I knew that when you come to Jesus, you've come to the power of God. Power versus power. When they are doing their own, I'm doing my own on this side. And it used to be a very serious matter. And one day, Baba finished from his shrine and he came back. And he said, and he pointed his finger to me like this. He said, as you are pulling me down, because all your prayers, I've seen it, you are scattering my thing. But don't forget that when you scatter what we used to burn you, your own life also will scatter. I said, no way, in the name of Jesus. He said, you cannot go far before you will come back. I also told him, I said, as you see me like this, I'm going far with God. And all of you, you will come after me in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, why am I telling you this? I want you to know that to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the foundation for everywhere God wants to carry you. I was afraid that maybe Jesus will litter me on the road. I was afraid that maybe if I really gave my life to Jesus Christ, He will not keep me to the end. But I'm happy to inform you today, from glory to glory, from one level to another, from one grace to another grace, He has carried me. Hallelujah! You know the Bible that I believe so much. At that beginning, it says, whosoever believes shall not be put to shame. I didn't know it in English language that time. I knew it in the local language. That was my passage. If you came near me that time, I will write it. Whenever any discussion was going on in the family and they saying, I would just repeat and say, whosoever believes shall not be put to shame. One day they did their hand like this to me and said, we will see what you will become. I also say, you will see. Because whosoever believes in Him shall not be put to shame. So when I'm asking you tonight, that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, all the means to build you up for a future, all the means to establish you, all the means to furnish your life and give you the kind of thing you are looking for is in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When I handed this life to Jesus, and I took what appeared like a risk, it was appearing like a risk. Because you can imagine me alone against the whole extended family. Sometimes they will wake up early in the morning and they say, yes, since you have decided to go this way, you will not make it. As they are finishing like that, I will not even worry, because I will say, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. Every mouth that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. So when they say you will not make it, I say, Ami, Lord God, Jesus, Uri Eta Runi. Are you confused? I say, no. Is because whosoever curses me shall be cursed. I will become altogether a blessing. Ah! They say, what is Uri? Oh my, Oti Gbaweri, Messi, that madness has entered his head. No, it was not madness. Or did you think I am mad? I'm asking you, do you think I am mad? No! No. For all the years that I've come to hand over to Jesus, I have come to prove that is the only way, the truth, and the life. I want to tell you with all my heart, what else can anybody have in life outside Jesus Christ? Who is he that is in the world that has not come to Jesus Christ and is going anywhere? What is it that you see in any man who does not have Christ? He may wear a big agbada, but inside, that's a man who is in trouble. That's a man who is not certain about what will happen to him. Doesn't know where he's going. He may be riding a big car, but because he has no Christ, he cannot sleep. He has bed, he cannot sleep. Are you hearing me? Big mansion, he only sleep in one small corner. Why? He has not met him. He has not met him in whom all the fullness of the Godhead has decided to dwell. So my first issue tonight, as we are reading that scripture, is that What you need to build you for a future, where is it? Where is it? It's in Christ. What you need to establish you, and as I'm talking to you, oh my God, you can be established. Your life can be furnished. God can do something with your life that will baffle your colleagues. I've not told you all my stories, but there's no time to do so. I only need to tell you that following Jesus, He pays me. What did I say? He pays me. You see, in English we sang in the afternoon, it pays to serve Jesus, I speak from my heart. But you know, because I grew in the local village, when I want to sing such a song, I prefer to sing the little chorus in Yoruba language. Say, Ona to gbaye mi gba, ope mi. Ona to gbaye mi gba, ope mi. Ona to gbaye mi gba, ojo eda loju. Ona to gbaye mi gba, ope mi. You know the meaning of that? It pays me to follow Jesus. It pays me to become committed to Christ. It pays me. It pays me so much. I am so excited following Jesus. That's why when I have opportunity of meeting young people, meeting students, I sense that it is the greatest thing I can offer you. If I'm going to celebrate you tomorrow, and if your generation will remember you, the greatest thing God can offer you now is to offer you the man of Calvary. Are you hearing me? If you hand over your life to Jesus, you have done the wisest thing. You have taken the greatest decision. Forever and ever, you will look back to say, thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life when you came. Those who did not receive Jesus Christ early enough, oh, they regret that. They say, how I wish I met Christ when I was younger. This would not have been spoiled. I say, well, now you have received it, settle down. So, what is my instruction from the Word of God tonight? What does God say to me in order to maximize the decision you made? The decision I have made. I made that decision many years ago. And I'm still making that choice. You know, I choose Jesus every time, because I've not found anything else. No one else. Nowhere else. Nothing in all the world is exciting like knowing Christ and walking with Him. He's my friend. The greatest friend anybody could ever have. Hallelujah. He is the greatest, the closest, the most reliable friend. All the time, in summer, in winter. The hymn writer say, your love are forever the same. Never changing, never diminishing, never disappointing. Faithful God. And unchangeable changer. Who does what men cannot do? Sometimes Satan will think he has cornered me. Let me tell you, sometimes Satan will do as if he has cornered me. And everybody will be saying, we will see how Billy will come out of this. Hallelujah. But you know, suddenly, He who makes a way where there is no way. Suddenly, a way will just appear. And I will have gone. They will say, Ibologana, Ibologana, Ona to baye migba, Oche yanu, Ona to baye migba. oje yanu ona to gba aye mi gba ojo eda loju ona to gba aye mi gba oje yanu. How did you make it now? Ona to gba aye mi gba oje yanu ona to gba aye mi gba oje yanu ona to gba aye mi gba ojo eda loju o ona to gba aye mi gba oje. It's just because I don't want to dance for you. We put one leg in front, one leg backward. Ona to gba aye mi gba oje yanu ona to gba aye mi gba oje yanu ona to gba aye mi gba ojo eda loju o ona oje yanu ona oje yanu ona to gba aye mi gba oje yanu ona to gba aye mi gba ojo eda loju ona to. They say, how will you make it? Let me tell you. He who decides to go with my life, he has 1,000 ways when you don't have one. So when you hand over your life to Jesus, are you hearing me? You can never be stranded. Because he will never be stranded. One day, God was making a demonstration to me and I was surprised. What was it? We were going on a road and there was no light. And I'm telling you, I was just about to put my leg into a ditch and I don't know whether my leg will have survived. But at the nick of time, it just thundered. Have you ever seen when it thundered and I said, "Shara," and there was light? And I said, I will have entered into the ditch. And I moved. And people were saying, how did you escape that? How did you escape that? We thought that you are going to fall into that ditch. But at the nick of time, he who never comes late. Tell somebody that he never comes late. God will come to time. He will do everything in time. And he will beautify my life in his own time. Hallelujah. So what do I want you to do tonight with Jesus if you have received him? So we are reading Colossians 2. That passage was quoted in the morning. The brother that is leading us in marriage seminar quoted it. When discipleship seminar came, they quoted it. And I thought maybe I don't need to quote it again. But I found that that's a very profound passage. So go with me to Colossians chapter 2, and we're reading verse 6 and verse 7. Once I finished it, I think I will read it with you to verse 8, and then we shall begin to stop so that you can go and sleep and we'll meet again tomorrow morning. Hallelujah. Are we together? Eh? Amen. Verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, listen, so walk, regulate your lives and your conduct, regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with him and in conformity to him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Let's quickly draw quick issues from those two verses before we conclude in verse 8. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, have you received the Lord? Eh? Have you received Christ Jesus? As many as received Him, let me tell you, to them He gave them what? Power. I want to tell you tonight, did you receive Jesus as your Lord? There is power. Power to say no to the devil. Some of you are saying, will I be able to stand? Will I? You will stand. When next the devil comes to tempt you, there is power for you to overcome it. All you need to say no. And the devil will turn and run. Until when I came to know Jesus, I didn't know that the devil is not as powerful as they used to tell us. I didn't know that the devil is a camel flag. Until I began to read the Bible, it said, resist the devil. And he will do what? So if the devil, if he's so powerful, how can my little self resist him and he will run? But that's what the Bible says. It says, stand up against the devil and he will turn and run. As little as you are tonight, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is greater than he that is in the world. When you stand up against it and say, devil, enough is enough. Enough of this sinful habit that you are bringing my way. Enough is enough. What the Bible says the devil will do? He will turn and run. We say, I didn't know that you know. I didn't know that when you went to Ajebo, they showed you something. He will run. He can only beg you to commit sin now. He can no longer force you. Are you hearing me? It is only if you decide that you want to personally hand over your life for the devil to mess it, and he will be surprised. You say, you mean this guy is still giving me a chance? You will tell the devil and all his advertisement tonight, say, enough is enough. The time I spent for the old man is what? Is enough. I will now live for Jesus forever. Now, having received Jesus Christ as your Lord, the Bible says you should do what? Walk in Him. Walk where? In Him. Praise the Lord. What does it mean when a man has received Jesus Christ as Lord? There are three things that I want you to know has happened. When Christ comes into your life because you have received Him, every covenant that Satan may be holding over your life is nullified. Did you hear me at all? When Jesus steps into a man's life, every yoke around that man, every activity of darkness, they are terminated. The reason is because the Lord of glory, when He steps anywhere, who is there to oppose Him? Do you know why I'm sure that you'll be victorious after this meeting? Do you know why I know that by the grace of God, I'm going to hear good news about you? Is because there is no life that is so handed over to Jesus that can be wasted. Yours will never be wasted. in the name of Jesus. So what are you going to do? Walk in Him. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, walk in Him. What does it mean to walk in Christ? Regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with Him and in conformity to Him. From tonight, I just want you to know that the old man that used to trouble you is no more here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what has happened to him? It's a new creation. Old things are passing away small, small. Is that what the Bible said? What did it say? Old things are passed away. Behold! What's the meaning of behold? What's the meaning of behold? See. All things. How many things? All things have become new. All things about you. Maybe you thought that pornography is still holding you. No. No way. Actually, from this night, just know that those are the old furniture of the old man that used to be here. And because something has happened, he has passed away. Go and wipe off all those films. Hallelujah. When you are wiping it off, keep telling the devil and say, the time I spent for you is enough. I now live for Jesus, and not for 2 years, not for 3 years, not for 4 years, not for 5 years. For how long? Forever. Until I get to heaven, I live for Jesus. There are some girlfriends that you call them sisters. And when Brother Mike was ministering to us in the afternoon, I really, really enjoyed that marriage seminar. Do you enjoy the marriage seminar? Are you looking for the second segment of it? Look, I'm looking forward to that thing. Even though I'm married for many years now, I'm still looking forward to it. I just like it. You will not fall in love, you will rise in love. As our brother was bringing the word of God, I said, you see that now? You see how many, many people fell. They fell. Love crippled them. They became blinded until they were led into the dungeon and the enemy hit their head. Boom! And they were unable to rise up again. No, you will rise in love. You will stand in your love. And your love will take you to greater places. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord, do what? Walk in Him. To walk in Him means regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in conformity to Jesus. You will begin to ask Jesus, Lord Jesus, now that you have taken over, now that I have handed this my life to you, what are you going to make out of it? That question I ask the Lord almost every day since I gave my life to Christ. I had an uncle that also was persecuting me. He said, my head has turned. And one day, because some of his children were following me for fellowship, he called me and said, look, Billy. I said, yes, sir. He said, we know your own head is scattered. And you are not planning to become anything. You know the meaning of that? This is your confusion that is making your life scattered. Don't rub it on my children. I must not see them following you to any fellowship again. I looked at him. I said, did you think that I'm following something that will make my life useless? He said, I don't know for you. But don't bring it to my children. I left him and I went to my room. I knelt and I said, Father, look at what this man said. God said, what did he say? Does he know your future? I know what I'm doing with you. So you know, when my wife quoted that passage, I was almost dancing again, because God just told me, said, look, I know what I'm planning for you. I know where I'm carrying you. I know what I will do with your life. I know what I'm going to make out of you. And nobody, not even your uncle, knows anything about it. And they are not the one to tell me what I will do with your life. Ah! I was so touched. I said, Lord, so you know what you are doing with me. My uncle said, I'm going to be a dropout. I said, who told him? Who told him? Who told him? And that night, I stood up. I went back again. I continued my studies. And the Holy Spirit kept saying, they will see what I will make out of your life. Today, can I tell you what has happened today? God has done more than I thought. When I'm somewhere preaching, they are running there. They say, oh, you know, that's my son. That's my son. You know, they are happy to introduce me as their son. Will anybody have known anything about that family if not what Jesus Christ has decided to do with a life that he picked? Never worry. Never worry. Let nobody in your house, in your family, intimidate you. It is by your life that their family will be known. It is because Jesus Christ has collected your life. That's why we put your family to a place of relevance. I don't know anybody among all your siblings who have not received Jesus Christ that can make anything great out of your family. If your family will be remembered for anything, it will be because of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ as Lord, do what? Walk in Him. Regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in conformity to Him. This Jesus that has come into your life is the foundation. He is the builder. He is the author. And he is also the finisher. He will bring you to a place that he has decided. He will finish what he's doing with your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Are we together to that point? Are you with me? Are you afraid? Maybe you are a young sister. You gave your life to Christ. And there was this boy that had been planning to marry you. And now that Christ has come into your life, you know that you can't go on with that man. And you are going to take your Bible and pen. You are going to write him and say, sorry, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And you are part of the old that has passed away from my life. Therefore, whatever I used to do with you, I do them no more. I am a child of God, and I have nothing to do with you anymore. Sign it. Put your name under it. Somebody say, hey, if you leave that boy, what will you become? Let me inform you. When you have followed Jesus, you are only beginning to enter into the very reason why you were born. That young man will see you feel. When God will have done what he's preparing you for in the future, he will be looking at you and say, hey, that girl was going to be my girlfriend. I was using her to rough weather until she wrote me a very nasty letter and said, old things are passed away. And I said, am I one of the old things? Say, yes. You are one of those old, obsolete things of my life. I can't go back there. When you take that step in this meeting, are you hearing me? Your future will be glorious. Those who look at you today and say, hey, where is he going? You are leaving me alone. When you are leaving me, who will marry you? When the Lord will settle you and you'll be moving in the glorious purposes of God, they will be standing there gazing at you. Gazing. I say, Kai, welcome, sir. There are people that greet me, welcome, sir, now, that they forgot what they used to say to me when I was just following Jesus. But today, I don't need to remind them. There's no need to remind them. I just say thank you. Thank you. God bless you. And they say, please don't forget to pray for us. We are still here. Pray for us. I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, remember them. Ona to gba ye mi gba o pe mi ona to gba ye mi gba o pe mi ona to gba ye mi gba ojo ota loju ona to gba ye mi gba o pe mi. Hallelujah. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ as Lord, do what? Walk in him. Walk in him. The way for you to maximize this experience is to now begin to walk in him. Regulate your lives, conduct yourselves in conformity to him. Let's read that passage and finish it up there. Hallelujah. He now says, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed, founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. Your roots, the root of your being, let it be firmly, deeply planted in Christ Jesus. May the Lord help you in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I've entered into this level of teaching you how to move, because this is the foundation to the things we'll be studying tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be dealing with how God focuses in building a man for a glorious future. And all the issues that have been raised today, issues of your marriage, issues of discipleship, issues of your prayer life that I was raising with our leaders in the morning, all of these issues, they are the foundation to where God is going with you. And I just want to join you tonight in prayer that, Father, what you have started in these lives, you will not stop it until you have finished it in the name of Jesus Christ. So have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him. Fixed. I love the word fixed. I don't want it to be floating. Those who float up and down, they don't become much. Fix the root of your being in Christ Jesus. Founded in him. Being continually. And the word continually means not once a while, not intermittently, continually being built up in him. Becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. Just as you were taught, abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. I wonder why they use the word with thanksgiving. I realize that when a man has touched Jesus, and when he has tasted the goodness of the Lord, you will know that there's nothing else that should excite you like your commitment, your knowledge,
of Jesus Christ. See to it. Now, all of you help me read verse 8. And we're stopping there. Verse 8. Are you there? Chapter 2, verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. If you carry another version, where is the sister that read Message? Can you read Message? Is anybody carrying Living Bible? Where is Old Living Bible, please? You have it? Stand up and we will take Living Bible from you. Message, that sister. Living Bible, that brother. And then Amplified. Any Amplified somewhere around? Alright, please stand and read. Message, verse 8.
Watch out for people.
Watch out for people.
Who try to dazzle you with big words.
Look at that. They try to do what?
Dazzle you with big words.
Big words. Empty words. Something, something, zim. Something, something, g. Something, something, shan. Something, what? Go ahead.
An intellectual double talk.
You see that? Watch out for people who try to dazzle you. With what?
With big words.
Big words.
And an intellectual double talk.
Uh-huh.
They want to drag you off into endless arguments.
You see that?
That will amount to anything. That will never amount to anything.
Yes.
They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings.
Uh-huh.
And the empty superstition of spirit beings.
Stop.
But that's not the way of Christ.
That's not the way of Christ. Don't let anybody dazzle you with big words. I fancy intellectualism. Come here, sir. Bring the microphone and come to this Living Bible. This man has Living Bible for us. And then where is the Amplified Bible? There's Amplified. Please draw nearer us so that we can receive your Amplified.
Don't let others spoil your faith and joy.
Don't let any other person spoil your faith and joy.
With their philosophies.
With their philosophies.
Their wrong and shallow answers.
Their wrong and shallow answers.
Built on men's thoughts and ideas.
Built on men's thoughts and ideas.
Instead of on what Christ has said.
You see that? Where is Amplified?
See to it.
See to it.
That no one carries you off.
That no one carries you off
as spoil.
As spoil.
Make yourself captive.
Oh my God, that is no more reading very well. Or make you yourself captive.
By a so-called philosophy.
By a so-called philosophy.
And intellectualism.
And intellectualism.
And vain deceit.
Vain deceit.
Idle fancies. And plain nonsense.
Are you hearing me? Don't let anybody confuse you with plain nonsense. Nonsense. I want to tell you, anything outside what Jesus Christ has done in your life is nonsense. You see, oh my God, I have no time for nonsense. When they are talking guru, 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 guru like this, I say, what are you talking about? Christ is real. His principle of life is the highest principle by which any man can become anything in the hand of God. Let nobody with their idle fancies, eye-sounding intellectualism, plain nonsense. Go ahead, sir.
Following human traditions.
Yes, sir.
Men's ideas of the material.
Yes.
Rather than the spiritual world.
All right, sir.
Just crude.
Crude notions.
Following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe.
Uh-huh.
And disregarding the teaching of Christ the Messiah.
Hallelujah. Now, for you to grow well, because we are talking about building you up, getting you established,
and furnished for the future that God has for you. I want to tell you, finally, that what Christ has said, the way of life that Christ Jesus has revealed to you, is the sure way unto greatness. Is the sure way unto glory. Your marriage will not be wrong in the name of Jesus Christ. As you follow His principle, it will be well with you. So tonight, this night brings us to a conclusion of one aspect of this meeting. That all those that will be built, established, and furnished for the glorious future, they must embrace Christ. They must receive Christ. That foundation must be laid in them, and they must grow, get firmly fixed, deeply rooted, continually being built up in Him. When that happens to you, you will never be behind in anything. You won't be behind your colleagues. You won't be behind your enemy, whatever he is. You will not be behind even those who stood and jeer at you as if you made a wrong choice. Would you like to follow Jesus? I'm asking you. Eh? You know what I used to do for myself? I used to say, I have known this way. I will be happy if you come along with me. Are you hearing me? But if you choose not to, I will continue. If any of you decide to say, let me go and make an experiment with my life first, I will not worry you. It will only pain me that you want to make experiment with a costly. When we are doing experiment in chemistry in those days, they don't give us very costly acid to make experiment with. We will use some little acid like sulfuric acid that they can quickly make, and it will be highly diluted. You don't make experiment with irritable life. It will not have mattered if to say that if you wasted 10 years of your life, you can wind the clock back. But you know that the clock of life is one directional, unidirectional. Forward ever, backward never. Do you know that if during your university days, you wasted it, you can never have another university days. I hope you know that. Eh? Oh my God, you are not hearing me. You can only be undergraduate once. When you finish, whatever you did during the undergraduate years will remain part of your history. Some of it you will like to regret about. Some have gone for NYC and they remember 1 year of NYC that damaged their lives completely. And anytime we say, where did you serve? They don't like to say, because that was where their lives were damaged. This night, I want to pray again. Those who made personal commitment and decision for the Lord, those who said, Jesus, I'm taking you again. I'm laying a foundation for my life. I don't want to keep building on assumption. I want to encourage you tonight. Walk in Him. Maybe in the course of the meeting, your heart was not very settled. You were not sure. You said, let me just follow them. I took this time tonight to say to you, If there was another way, I would have said, go and try it. But Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. If there was another way to become something tangible that eternity will celebrate, I would have said, go and try it. But I want to assure you tonight, this is the only way. All those who did not follow this way, they have landed in the bush. All those who did not embrace him after many years, they have come back regretting and said, I wish I listened to you. But this night, it is my joy and my privilege to stand together with you in prayer. If there's anything that I'm longing for God to do in the course of your days in this meeting, is that the hand of the Lord will be rested upon you. He who kept some of us, we didn't even have people to do this kind of thing for us. But there is a mighty hand of God that will not let us misbehave. That same hand will be placed on your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Sometimes the devil sees where God is carrying you. And he says, can I quickly damage this one before God can take him anywhere? The Lord will be jealous over your case. God will fight over your case. He will win your battles for you. If you will stand up tonight, two things I want you to do. I want you to make a commitment to Christ. I want you to say, everything I need is in you. Everything that will make me to arrive at my future is embedded in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, I want to wholeheartedly, without thinking twice, without looking back, I want to hold you. I want to receive you. Even if no one joins me, I will still go with you. Can you open your mouth? And personally, tonight, I'm sensing that the Holy Spirit is working, setting you on course for something eternal to happen. Would you like to pray and say, Lord, even for me tonight, I put my hand in your hand. I place my life in your hand. I know who you are. You never fail. You will not fail me also. Some of us are telling you stories of the many years of God's faithfulness. Many years of His care. Many years of His defense. He has defended our lives. He has kept it from decay. He has fought battles. And he has won. And he is still winning. And he's still telling me, the future I have for you is glorious. I'm taking you there. Would you like to put your hand in the hand of the Lord tonight and say, Father, I will follow you. I will run with you. I will not look back again. I will not look back again. Friends that are not passionate about Jesus, I let them go. Relationship that compromises my walk with God, I surrender it. Everything that raises its head against my growth in Christ, I want to nullify it this night. I want to release it from my hand. I would like to walk with God henceforth. Thank you, Jesus. I want to see you pray that prayer before I pray for you. Maybe in the course of tonight, why the message came on marriage, why the word of God came on discipleship, and tonight, the Spirit of God is saying, But you have been putting one leg inside, one leg outside. Wouldn't you make up your mind to follow me? Do you know that a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways and he will not receive anything from God? Would you like to say to the Lord, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. I want to walk with God. I don't want to be half-hearted anymore. I want to walk with you. I want to put my hand in your hand. In 10 years' time, in 20 years' time, I want to look back on this meeting and say, that's where it happened. That was where I said yes to the Lord. That was where I ended my double-mindedness. That's where I said bye-bye to the world, bye-bye to sin, bye-bye to the devil. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know anybody who gave his life to Christ and the devil destroyed that life? No. Said, those that the Father gives to me, they will come to me. And I will in no wise cast them out. No one will take them away from my hand. If you have brought your life to Jesus. Wherever you are standing tonight, I want you to make a declaration. Lord Jesus, I put my hand in your hand. I want to go with you. The future you have for me, I want to walk with you into it. The glory you have promised me, I will see it in my lifetime. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this night. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for the work we see you doing quietly here. Thank you for lies that you are turning over to yourself. They will serve you. They will show your glory in the midst of men. Hallelujah. In Jesus Christ's name, we are prayed. Do you know that the greatest punishment anybody can have is to be a lukewarm, undecided Christian? If you want to be cold, go and be cold. If you want to be hot, you must be hot. But if you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, he said, I will spill you out. There is no space for in-between Christian. There is no space for those who appear hot today and cold tomorrow. There is no space for those who put one hand with the devil, one leg with Jesus. No space. And I want to tell you, as a young man that you are, whatever you choose to do with your life, let's decide it tonight. If you decide that I want to follow Jesus to see the end of the matter, to see the glory of God, and you are saying, Father, for me, my decision tonight is final. I don't have plan B anymore. My plan is to follow you until I see your glory. Are we together? Eh? No halfway for me. I have decided to follow you. We will take that song just 2 times. I can see that some of you are saying yes to God. I want you to say it loud to him. I've decided to follow you. But why some are saying that, somebody had been in between opinion for long. You claim to be in Christ, but you are in the darkness. And you are saying, I don't know what to do. I know what you should do tonight. And I tell you to do it.
You either choose to follow Jesus and step out before him and say, Lord, enough of double-mindedness. I want to give my heart to you completely. And if you choose not to, and you decide to say, well, let me go and manage my life anywhere, with very strong warning, I'll say, don't do it. But if you choose to, there is no double standard here. You are either for him or you are against him. So while we take that song, I've decided to follow Jesus. Should you be standing in this meeting tonight and you are saying, the time I spent for sin is enough, the time of double-mindedness is enough, the time of being hot on campus and wearing a different dress at home is enough. Fear has made me no longer to testify that I'm a child of God. That is enough tonight. I want to say yes to Jesus and his final. Persecution will not take me back. Why we take that song? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. If you are doing that, just raise your hand to God. Say, Lord, I have decided. No time. No turning back. Those that are coming out, they are saying, every new one, every double-minded, every secret compromise, every secret defeat, every secret sin, every secret denial, every secret sin, said no to it. No to it. Final no. Final no. Final no to the devil. Wait a bit. You are saying final no to the devil tonight. You are saying yes to the Savior. And you are saying from this meeting, I will no longer be lukewarm. My body is no more going to be a workshop for Satan. What is it that any man will give me? And I will exchange my beauty for ashes. This meeting, in this altar, I say final no to the devil, and I say yes to the Savior. In the name of Jesus. Sorry, there's someone here. You are committed to one sugar daddy. He has spent so much money on you. You know that today you need to break that relationship. But you are saying, but how will I survive? And the Holy Spirit is saying, hand that life over to me. That man is not part of your destiny. As we are going to pray before our brother Tewa, say we lead this prayer. As the Lord is dealing with that matter in your heart, come and lay it at this altar now. And say, Father, how will I plan to be a useless dropout in the hand of one old man there? I surrender this life. God bless you. God bless you. Tonight is a night that God is dealing with specific cases. God is going to deliver you. God bless you. The Holy Spirit is searching through this congregation this night. Say, what is it that you are afraid of handing over to me over? Somebody suck your blood because he said you should enter into a blood covenant that you will not disappoint him. He did that to cheat you. But this night, the blood of the man was going to be wasted over your head. You know that you can't continue in that relationship. Before God's servant will pray, the Spirit of God is saying, you, I have a plan for you. And your future is not in that relationship. Stand up and come before God's servant will pray. I'm deliberately waiting because the Holy Spirit is demanding that tonight, 1st of May, that issue must be resolved. God bless you. Wherever you are standing, lift those two hands again to God and say, I have decided to follow Jesus. Our Father, we thank you and bless your name. Thank you for what you have done today for each and every of your daughters and your sons that you have specifically, O Lord, spoken to. They have personally heard you on their own situations. Thank you, O Lord, that you have brought them to yourself. You have pulled them out of the crowd, that you will specifically, O God, deal with their situations tonight. Thank you because, Lord, you don't cajole anybody. Thank you because this life, you are not joking with each of their situations. You have taken it so seriously that, Father, if they were the only ones that were there, you still would have organized this conference for them. Lord, we bless your name. Thank you for what, Lord, you have looked their future that was so precious to you, that the devil had been crippling, had been wasting. You knew that, Lord, if they continued in this way, it is a finish. It is a future that the enemy will just squeeze and throw away. Thank you for the liberty that you are bringing them into tonight. Lord, we commit each and every one of them into your hands. We pray, O Father, that the power of sin, the bondage, O God, that they have been brought into, they took a decision deliberately, O God, to go into it. They didn't go into it blindly. They knew the claim of the enemy over their lives is that they agreed with him
Tonight, oh Father, they have taken another decision. They have decided, oh Lord, to go with you. Lord, we ask that this decision to go with you tonight will bring a breakage, oh Father Lord, from the power of sin and from the bondage over their lives individually in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are greater than the devil. Satan didn't do anything for these ones. But you died for them. You created them. And again, you purchased them by the blood. You have double claims over each and every one of your children. We ask, oh God, that since the enemy has no reason whatsoever, by the virtue of the fact that they have taken a decision for you, Lord, we ask that any power over their lives be broken tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. From tonight, Lord, we ask that they will know the power of forgiveness of sin. We pray that the guilt of sin be taken away from them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over their lives individually. That blood, we pray, will cleanse them from sin in the name of Jesus. Amen. My Lord, we pray tonight that the power of the cross, the efficacy of your death, will break also the power of sin over their lives. Lord, we ask that as they stand from here, there will be no blindfolding. Lord, I ask that each and every one of them will find power in themselves to resist the devil and to say no to him. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Set them free. And I say tonight that they will go free. They have been set free in Christ Jesus. Lord, tonight I pray that they will burst into joy. They will burst into liberty. They will experience your grace. They will see a release over their lives. They will walk, oh God, into perpetual victory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. They will not be timid. Lord, they will say no to every deceit, to every blunt, for any manipulation, for any attraction of the devil. They will all, Lord, see the traps of the enemy and walk free from it. Father, we thank you for this change you have brought into their lives. It is the change from death to life. We bless your name. We just know that, oh Lord, far beyond our asking, for each and every one of these, oh Lord, your good plans have been affected. It will take root from tonight. It will take a reference date from tonight. It will take, oh God, a permanent direction from tonight. You will be glorified over their lives tonight. and your grace will uphold them forever from tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Be thou exalted. Be thou worshipped, O Lord, now and forevermore. For we have prayed together in Jesus' name. Amen.